Hello, my name is Mark Byatt, Director of Communications for the IFRS Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to this summary of IASB board meetings held on the 27th of April and the 4th, 11th and 12th of May. Joining me today is Alan Shearer, Director of Technical Activities, and Steve Cooper, Member of the IASB. Hello. Alan, perhaps you could begin. Obviously, you've had a couple of weeks' worth of meetings. What's been covered?
These are small little bites, I guess, for the board. We've met for several hours at a time, sometimes joined by the FASB for our joint sessions and other times at ISB only. We had decision-making sessions for hedge accounting, for insurance contracts, and we also had some sessions on leasing activities and also revenue recognition, but they were mainly educational sessions and preparing us for this coming board week.
Okay. Well, Steve, perhaps you could kick off by talking about hedge accounting.
Yeah, we continued with the redeliberations on the hedge accounting ED, and in these three meetings we covered four areas: zero cost collars, OCI, nominal component layers, and then the qualification criteria to get into hedge accounting in the first place. On the zero cost collars, this is a very sort of particular narrow issue, I guess. We made a particular change in terms of accounting for purchased options in the exposure draft, and that was very well received. However, many people pointed out that we didn't specifically address the issue of a zero cost collar, which is a combination of a purchased and written option, obviously with a zero cost with the premiums offsetting. And that wasn't explicitly addressed, and many people said, well, it's only logical if we have the same treatment for that situation as we're proposing for options generally. And the board agreed, so we decided to make that change. On OCI, I think, Alan, you were going to talk about OCI?
Yeah, there are a couple of things there. A couple of presentation issues. One was about where to present the gains or losses on the hedged items, and the other was about link presentation. In the exposure draft, basically the board had proposed that the gain or loss on the hedging instrument and the hedged item would be an OCI or other comprehensive income, but then you put the ineffective portion or gain or loss into profit or loss. Most respondents actually agreed with the idea in terms of the information they're going to be provided for in terms of disclosure, but they disagreed with the proposed location. Most of the concerns was a perception that OCI really lacks a conceptual basis, and also the additional number of line items that were being added to comprehensive income. So it was a perception, I guess, that the income statement was getting more and more cluttered, perhaps. The board had a look at that, and they basically decided at this stage tentatively to retain the requirement in IAS 39 that the gains and losses from hedging instruments and hedged items are going to go into profit or loss. What they're going to do, though, is that because of the information needs of the users, we intend to go ahead with a disclosure requirement that means that you actually put together in one single note the effects of fair value hedges and cash flow hedges on the profit and loss and OCI, so you can actually see the whole package together. Perhaps the other thing in terms of link presentation, it did say that link presentation shouldn't be allowed for fair value hedges in the exposure draft, and most of the respondents agreed with that, so basically the board's decided to retain that proposal.
Okay, we went on to nominal component layers. After that, the proposal in the ED that we would allow a layer component, we confirmed that. However, we did make some particular changes to some individual aspects of that. The key issue, I guess, that we ought to mention here is that in the exposure draft, we proposed precluding a situation where there's a prepayment option, and that would make the layer ineligible. The board has changed that decision and now suggesting that the designation of a layer as a hedged item should be allowed if it includes the effect of the related prepayment option when we determine the change in the fair value of the hedged item. So that's a change that I think a number of people called for in their comment letters and argue quite strongly in favour of. So the staff recommended that change along with a couple of others, more detailed changes in that area, and the board agreed with that.
Yeah, there are a couple of things too. There's a lot of support for the hedge accounting proposals and the outreach that we did, and that outreach was very extensive. But we did get a lot of feedback that some of the terminology we're using, the way we're actually describing these requirements of the standard, could be improved. So we really need to think about the wording. And two that we had a look at this week were the term other than accidental offsetting, people trying to understand what that means, and also talking about producing an unbiased result. So perhaps if I just mention the first, other than accidental offsetting, the idea of the hedge accounting requirements is that you're supposed to capture what people intend to do. So if you accidentally get an offsetting, you shouldn't be allowed to use the offsetting, essentially the hedge accounting, to try and look as if you're managing risk when in fact you're not. So, but rather than using the term other than accidental offsetting, what the board's decided to do is to actually describe that and what they meant, and that is it's supposed to comprise a couple of things. One is the notion of an economic relationship between the hedge item and the hedging instrument, which gives rise to the offset, so you understand that relationship that you're trying to hedge. And the other is the effect of credit risk on the level of offsetting gains or losses on the hedging instrument and hedged item. So rather than use, I guess, a shorthand term, we're going to describe more clearly what we're trying to capture by this intention to actually manage your risk.
I think some people had criticised the exposure draft being somewhat loose, that this is all to do with the criteria of getting into hedge accounting and that we weren't being robust enough. I think the board had always felt that the requirements we're putting in here are robust, and perhaps people weren't reading it that way, and maybe the terminology here was a problem. So I think what we're saying now is that there has to be a real economic offset relationship between the hedged item and the hedging instrument. And so the board unanimously agreed to the change that we're proposing, and subject to the staff going away and producing the words. The key thing in this is how the words are written, because clearly they'll be pored over in great detail by people when they're applying the standards. So we need to make sure we get the words right. But I think the intent of the board is very clear. We just got to make sure that we express that clearly.
Yeah, it's part of making these things operable. You shouldn't have to send the board members to explain what we mean by the standard. That should be very clear.
I mean, perhaps we ought to just clarify as well that there was no support for going back to the bright line test. No. So we had the 81-25. We proposed getting rid of that in the ED, and I think there was no support in our constituents for going back to that or some sort of proxy like highly effective, reasonably effective. And I think the board confirmed that they didn't want to go down that route, but they wanted to find a way of effectively making sure that hedge accounting is only applied when there is a hedge in place. And I think we got closer to some good words to describe that.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's a useful summary of hedge accounting discussions. Steve, do you want to talk a little bit about the insurance contracts discussion?
Okay, thanks, Mark. We talked about three different aspects of insurance: time value of money, related to pre-claims liabilities, unbundling, and then OCI. The board decided that the use of time value of money in terms of a pre-claims obligation simply should be consistent with what we're doing for revenue recognition, which I think makes a lot of sense. That there was a related thing to that, and that is acquisition costs. We decided that the pre-claims obligation, that we would include the acquisition cost in the measurement of that insurance contract liability under the building block approach. The FASB didn't actually vote on that issue, but the ISB were supportive of that. We then went on to a lengthy discussion about unbundling, and this has been an area of great debate, the extent to which one should separate things which are not directly insurance from an overall insurance contract. An insurance contract may include service components related to the provision of investment management services or whatever, which aren't directly related to insurance. And some parts of an insurance contract may, in effect, be a financial instrument. There could be a deposit component, for example. So the boards went through and considered exactly what we should do with that. And I think the upshot is that we're trying to be consistent across the project. So the unbundling of the service components, given that those service components will then be accounted for in the revenue recognition project, revenue recognition standard, well, we should unbundle in the same way as we are doing the unbundling and revenue recognition. We have to identify, for example, whether a revenue contract comprises different performance obligations and whether we should recognize profit separately for each of those because of a different pattern of transfer. And we're doing the same thing in respect of insurance to unbundle the service from the insurance component. And in fact, we've also extended that into investment components and trying to decide circumstances where an investment component should be unbundled, and again we're using criteria which are based on what we're developing in revenue recognition. Obviously it cannot be exactly the same, but we're trying to make it consistent as possible in that case, but that will lead to unbundling of explicit account balances in those circumstances where that separation is consistent in that sense.
Yeah, we also had a little discussion about some matters to do with presentation as well. For example, whether or not you should present any changes in the carrying amount of insurance contract liabilities, should they be an OCI, other comprehensive income, or profit or loss. And basically the board decided that they ought to be presented as part of profit or loss. And of course, we've got the same sort of issue in terms of assets that back insurance liabilities, whether or not where they should be presented as well. And they were precursor discussions to a working group meeting that we will be taking place coming up on Monday, the 16th, I think it is, of May, where we've got the working group assembling in London for a public session there.
Okay. Anna, I think we also had a couple of education sessions this week on leasing and revenue recognition.
Yeah, once again, this is warming us up to the joint meeting we're holding that begins on Tuesday, the 17th. For leasing, we've got quite a large suite of papers, and these are really the last fundamental questions for the project. Plus a couple of interesting things. We are having a little look at Shariah-compliant leases and lessor issues. It's something we are quite conscious of, so we have a paper to discuss that. We're looking at contract modifications or changes in circumstances after the date of the lease, inception of the lease, in other words, things change in that lease contract. How to distinguish between lease accounting approaches, and so for a lessee, for example, you know, there's been talk about we all think we know what a finance lease is, so it's kind of like you've set up a lease agreement with a view to essentially it's pretty analogous to going out and borrowing money from the bank and buying the asset. It's not much different if you lease the asset essentially as well. So people know what that sort of old-fashioned financing side is, right? They also know essentially what we've always called an operating lease, where most people, and I don't want to over-characterise this, but they think of these as sort of the short-term rental type things. We all agree that the lease obligation should be on the balance sheet. What we've been looking at is how to essentially roll that out through the income statement for these contracts. And there's a view that in some cases, particularly the old operating style leases, some people think that we ought to do something that gives us more of an even allocation of profit or loss. So we've been having a look at those as well. Again, no decisions, but it's been setting us up to make sure the board's got enough time to reflect on these matters. You flip that over for the lessor side, same sort of issue. Our current accounting requirements distinguish between those leases where essentially you're selling the lease to the asset to another party and getting financing or lease receivable in exchange, and those where essentially you're letting them use it for a while before you get it back. So again, operating leases. And I think there's the questions we're asking is do we want to make these things absolutely consistent between lessee, lessor? And some of the questions we have to ask is if we retain essentially the same sort of accounting that we end up with, so that we currently have with IAS 17, is it worth making change? So the board's having a look at all those types of issues this week. We've got another couple of papers on reassessment of options in a lease and reassessment of the discount rate and so on. So that's going to be quite a big session for us coming up. The other thing we looked at was in revenue recognition. One of the more contentious issues is telcos and how you handle things like a handset or somebody buys an iPad, for example, through a provider. They lock it themselves into a contract with minimum payments per month. How do you account for those things? And some telcos are unhappy with what's been proposed. Others think it's a very supportive of what we've got. So we had presentations from from several this week who came into both Norwalk and London and presented to both boards.
Well, obviously a lot discussed over the last few weeks. It's been a pretty busy week this week as well. Is it four standards issued?
Yeah, it was yesterday. So on Thursday, basically the 12th, we published four brand new IFRSs, IFRS 10, which deals with consolidations, IFRS 11, joint arrangements, IFRS 12, which is about disclosure of involvement with non-controlled entities and or other entities, and IFRS 13, fair value measurement. And related to that, we had consequential amendments, so we ended up both amending and renaming two of our standards. So IAS 27 now just deals with separate financial statements instead of consolidated and separate, and IAS 28, it now bundles together all the equity accounting requirements in relation to both joint ventures and associates. And that package came out, as said, on the 12th, so quite a big change. And we've got next one off the press will be dealing with OCI presentation.
Okay. And for each of those standards, there are separate podcast summaries and project summary and feedback statements on the website.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Next meeting?
Next meeting starts, said working group meeting is in London on the 16th and then the 17th, Tuesday. The FASB will be here in London and they'll be here till Thursday lunchtime. And then we roll into some ISB-only meetings on Thursday afternoon and Friday.
Okay. Good. Well, Alan, Steve, thank you very much for your time. That just leaves me to give the obligatory health warning that these are the personal views of the presenters and do not necessarily represent those of the IASB. The only official summary of the board meeting is provided by IASB Update, which will be available on the IASB website shortly. Thank you.